Next item is item five, Pecosin Marine Associates LLC, docket number 07-1569. Mr. McGinnis.
Mr. Commissioner, if you give me 1 second, we have some poster boards that we'll need to set up as well for you. Take me just 1 minute.
Okay. Mr. Grab, while he's doing that, did you get this letter from Wilcox and Savage yesterday afternoon? Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's in attendance, and I want to make sure it's part of the record as well.
Just for the record, the poster boards were part of the board's record, and so that's why they're being displayed. And I will go ahead, since you mentioned it, Commissioner, and provide the copies of the letter that we did receive from the applicant's attorney.
Before you get started, Ben, let me ask a question. Maybe counsel can help as well. Did I understand correctly that all parties involved now basically are in agreement that this should be remanded for further work by the Wetlands Board, or is that...
No, the freeholders.
The freeholders? Okay.
I don't know if the Wetland Board has agreed to any of that.
Okay.
As well, so
I just want to make sure
if they're willing to stand up now and agree to that, I think it's probably best to proceed.
Okay.
Are they here?
Do the freeholders have a spokesperson?
They do, and I believe several of them are here that did speak at the hearing as well and may want to speak for themselves in addition.
That'll be fine. Proceed.
Okay. I think all the people are here. I think everybody does agree that it goes back.
Sir, could you come up here, please, if you would? Thank you.
This is the vice chairman of the Wetland Board.
Okay. Your name, sir?
Tom Carlson.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
I do.
Good. And you're
anyway, I was just responding to your question. If all the parties are here and agree that it should go back to the Wetland Board, I think they are. The Wetlands Board's okay with it. Am I correct, Phil? The freeholders, that's why they're here.
Right.
And I believe the development owner is here as well.
I've got his letter indicating.
Okay.
Mr. Josephson, can you advise at the present time?
Is there a spokesman for the freeholders?
Yeah, let's put that on record.
Yeah.
I believe the freeholders are saying they want to be heard.
It's here.
Okay.
Okay, so we need to proceed with the...
Let's go ahead and, I guess, go with the brief.
Okay.
This is an appeal by 61 freeholders of the Pecosin Wetland Board decision of the September 19th, 2007 decision to approve Pecosin Marina Associates' proposed marina redevelopment project adjacent to the existing Pecosin Marina property on White House Cove in the city of Pecosin. And just to give the commission some orientation, this is one of the state aerial photos here we've included that shows the Pecosin River up in the top left corner and Bennett's Creek. This is the red arrow points to the location in Pecosin of the site. And this is just a little bit of a close-up here. I believe that the board's record, the presentation made by their staff, will show a little bit more clearly. But essentially, the property is this area in here, which includes this existing residential property, which I believe the developer has a contract to purchase. Pending approval of all of his permits. Let me just go through just a little bit of the basic information before we get into the board's the presentation made by their staff. The existing property includes a 158-slip commercial marina, upland boat storage, a restaurant, a hair salon, a city-owned public pier and boat ramp, and VMRC's fisheries division currently still has a fisheries laboratory there that is being relocated due to the development that is being planned. And until recently also included a mobile home park. The applicant plans to redevelop the existing marina and upland property and had proposed to fill and dredge both vegetated and non-vegetated tidal wetlands through the installation and backfilling of a bulkhead channelward of the existing bulkhead or riprap revetment that are on the site now, and by dredging up to the proposed bulkhead to obtain maximum depths between -6 and -7 feet at mean low water. The proposed project also includes the relocation of an existing public boat ramp and the replacement, realignment, and addition to the marina's existing piers and wet slips. The Pocosin and Wetland Board did consider the applicant's request at their hearing on September 19, 2007. Just to quickly summarize the events, the board did take testimony from the applicant, five members of the public who spoke against the project, one that spoke in favor of it, and then the board voted 5-2 to approve the project. However, there is it is unclear whether the motion to approve the project included any of the permit conditions recommended by city staff. And if you note by looking through the large record that's been provided to you, there is a copy of a verbatim transcript that covers the first portion of the meeting up through the first member of the public that spoke against it. The city staff could explain, but I believe they had an error with their taping machine and were not able to perfect a verbatim transcript for you here today. So they also included a summary minutes. And those minutes apparently do not reflect, the motion does not reflect what the maker of the motion and the member of the board who seconded the motion believe the motion had been made. So there are also affidavits from both of those members stating the motion. As far as staff's concerned, though, that's not the issue here today. The day after the Wetland Board decision, staff received a letter from the Pocosin City Manager, Charlie Burgess, on behalf of the City of Pocosin, appealing their own Wetland Board's decision. The city's letter stated that the appeal was based upon the fact that the board's decision was made without benefit of a VIMS report, that the one-to-one wetland mitigation ratio proposed by the applicant and accepted by the board was inconsistent with past board action. The board did not require the permit be withheld until all property transfers were complete, and that the board failed to require impacts to wetlands be avoided as required by the model wetland zoning ordinance adopted by the city. By letter dated October 16th, just last week, the city manager withdrew the city's appeal, stating that after further evaluation that they believe the Wetland Board acted accordingly in the absence of a VIMS report. His letter, however, did not cover his earlier concerns related to the inconsistent application of the mitigation requirement or the board's failure to seek to avoid wetland impacts. Nevertheless, staff did receive a second letter of appeal, as we previously mentioned, from 61 Pocosin Freeholders. Their letter stated that they supported the city's appeal and believed that the board rushed to judgment without considering the technical advice that would have been provided in a VIMS report. Although the city has withdrawn its appeal because the freeholders' appeal stated that their agreement to the issues in the city's original letter of appeal, we believe that those issues are still valid and would be considered part of the freeholders' appeal. In addition, the freeholders' appeal had stated other issues that they felt concerned about, including the height of the bulkhead, impact of that height potentially to public health, safety, welfare, including an increased risk of flood damage. They're also concerned about filling within the resource protection area, which is an area that is governed within the City of Pocosin by their Board of Zoning Appeals, not the Wetland Board. The letter also went on to state that they believe that the approval of the new boat ramp location in lieu of reconstructing a boat ramp at the existing location did not avoid wetland impacts, since the relocation of the ramp would result in the filling of the existing ramp in adjacent wetlands. They also believe that the boat ramp location adversely impacts the surrounding neighborhood due to its proximity to residential properties, that the new ramp will result in a navigation hazard within the narrow man-made channel, and that the applicant has not proposed adequate upland parking to accommodate the new ramp. They also believe that the inadequate parking would result in further wetland impacts, since the city of Pocosin would need to construct an additional boat ramp in a separate location in the White House Cove or Bennett Creek vicinity. Just to kind of summarize the public hearing that the board held on September 19th, the board did receive a staff presentation, which I'll go through here quickly right now. This is just a copy of their tax map where they're highlighting the property. The property that's owned by the applicant is shown in yellow, and I believe the area shown in red was highlighted because that is an adjacent marina, York Haven Marina, and they're just trying to show the proximity to another commercial facility. This is one of the earlier conceptual drawings, I believe, that the city had obtained from the developer. As far as I know, there's not been a proposal for upland development, so while I believe it's assumed that there'll be residential properties of some kind, the layout is not likely to resemble this exactly, but this does provide a general idea of the marina that they plan to be putting in. There are some slight modifications in the current proposal to this, though. Unfortunately, the scale of the drawings have forced the city staff to show small sections of the proposal. Unfortunately, the drawings are quite a bit washed out, and I don't even think that turning off the lights would help here. But the applicant did provide another poster that does show the overall proposal, and so I'll put that up for you to see now. On this particular poster here, the area shown in yellow, kind of a mustard yellow, those are non-vegetated wetland impacts, and the areas here in this dark green are vegetated wetland impacts, and those are delineated by the applicant's agent and not necessarily confirmed by VIMS at this point. Just some photos of the existing site. There are covered boat slips or boathouses that will be removed. This will be an open marina once it's redeveloped. But this photo is just showing you the location of the proposed boat ramp. Of course, you can't really tell where on the property this is unless you're familiar with the site. But on the map here, drawing, it's over in this bottom corner, which I'm sure if all members can see, this is really not a good place. This is the proposed location here. Just another shot looking straight in. A cross section, the top cross section shows a cross section of the boat ramp. The bottom one, I believe, is discussed later, but has to do with the applicant's proposed wetland mitigation site. This is the western portion of the property, and here you can see in orange are the non-vegetated impacts, and the green hatched area and here are the vegetated impacts. And essentially what's going on is there's existing riprap through this area, and they're coming in and putting in a bulkhead. I believe the cross section shows about halfway along the width of that riprap, and they're going to fill the top portion and then dredge the channelward portion. I think this is a similar drawing that was shown previously, but this is up where the existing boat ramp is in this location now and is being moved down here. This is a man-made marina basin in here. You can see here, this is one of the areas they've labeled as impact area one in the application. So there's a photograph here, and this is the existing bulkhead. They're planning on coming out channelward of that, and then there is this vegetation through here, which will be either filled or dredged in the process of. This is the existing boat ramp, and there is wetland vegetation, some salt bushes that run up along through here, and this is one of the sheds that house the boats now. This is just a cross section, a general cross section of a bulkhead. The one up top, the section FF, it's difficult to see, but essentially I'll try and point out from this point here over to this point here, they're representing as existing riprap. And so the bulkhead will actually come up through here, and they'll actually be filling in behind that. Bulkheads will be higher than what is there now. And then they're going to be coming in and dredging all of these wetlands that would lie in front of the bulkhead down, and this one down to minus 6 feet. So it'll be dredged right up to the edge of the bulkhead. This was just a slide trying to show you, again, the majority of the project along White House Cove, at least the wetland impacts with the cross sections. And you can see they're showing the bulkheads here, 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 with the associated dredging. And this one actually shows and at one of the piers with the ramp going down to the floating pier. Just some more additional photos showing areas of vegetated wetlands that are being proposed to be filled. This is this picture here is where the boat ramp comes through. This is a public fishing pier here owned by the city. A lot of what you see through here are actually, and this is discussed later in the evaluation, but there are existing riprap that actually has vegetation growing up through the voids between the rocks, a lot of salt bush and so forth. And there's some confusion as to the credit that was given for vegetated impacts because of that. This slide shows in black outline the existing property. It also shows the residential property next door that will be included in the overall development plan. And they have proposed a mitigation area essentially in this corner here, creating a little tidal gut that would go up and create wetlands. And this is just a photograph of that existing site. So we'll actually go in and excavate down to an elevation that would accommodate tidal wetlands. Again, this is the existing riprap that's there, and that mitigation site, I believe, is right up in here. And this is just the drawings that the applicant has submitted. So you can see in here, there'll actually be a small subaqueous channel, I believe, with a small fringe of non-vegetated wetland mudflat. Sorry. And then it'll be the upper reaches will be planted with wetland vegetation, and this is just a cross section here. So it'll be Spartina alterniflora and Spartina patens is what they're showing here. The staff finished their presentation with providing the board with some criteria to consider before deciding whether or not to approve the project. As you can see, they listed all reasonable mitigative actions have been incorporated, that the project is clearly water dependent and demonstrates the need to be within wetlands. They also reminded the board about the commission's mitigation and compensation policy and the sequence that should be followed. First, considering whether or not on-site compensation can be accomplished, then looking off-site or purchase of credits to a mitigation bank, and then finally payment of in-lieu fee to the wetland board for any other impacts. They also proposed several conditions. They can propose that the permit be held until final acquisition of city property had been obtained. As I previously mentioned, there is a city boat ramp and a city public pier that the developer is proposing to take over. I think that the pier will actually remain public from what they stated during the hearing, and that the new boat ramp will have an easement placed on it to allow public access for that as well. But they won't be city-owned, if I recall correctly. Staff had also asked for a minimum 5-year inspection period to inspect the wetland mitigation site. They also proposed a bond or letter of credit and the establishment of a temporary access easement that would allow city staff to go out and inspect the mitigation area without being run off the property. That ends their staff presentations. I'm just going to go back to this slide here, just have that up. Although not reflected in the draft transcript or minutes that you have before you, City staff did inform the board that a VIMS report had not been provided. The board's record includes a letter dated September 14, 2007 from VIMS, which explains that a VIMS report could not be provided because the application was incomplete and that the applicant's submission of additional information had not been provided in time for VIMS to fully evaluate the proposed project prior to the hearing. Just for your note, the letter from VIMS is item 7F in your record. It was provided to the board staff beforehand and was in their record. Filing their staff presentation and a brief procedural statement by the chairman, they did open up the floor to the applicant to make presentation. Brad Brown, who is the I believe the project manager for Pecosin Marine Associates, went up and discussed the project. As I mentioned, the two poster boards he had brought to the board and used them as props during his discussion. Mr. Brown, during his discussion, stated that he believed that fragmented wetlands would be replaced by open water habitat and that their proposed wetland mitigation plan met the no net loss requirement mandated by the commission, effectively attempting to use the proposed mitigation to justify the wetland impacts. Mr. Brown closed his comments by summarizing what he believed were the economic and environmental benefits of the proposed project. Then he also referenced an impact or mitigation summary table that they had provided to the board late that tried to help explain to the board what the actual proposed impacts were actually going to be. And you may want to take a look at that. It is item 7D, Roman numeral 5 in your packages. Interestingly, staff notes that a 50% reduction to both vegetated and non-vegetated wetland impacts were credited by the applicant's agent when the impacts were in an area currently occupied by riprap, rather than using the total square footage of impact within the board's jurisdiction. And so I think I'd briefly mentioned that, pointing into one of the photos, that when you had an area of riprap that had vegetation growing through it, what they actually did was calculate that only VIMS, I think, would normally calculate that as a vegetated wetland area. And what they did was they only charged 50%. The applicant's agent said that only 50% of that was actually a vegetated wetland rather than 100%. And I think we'll get into that later, that staff can agree to that concept, but then the remaining portion was just lost, that it wasn't accounted for as a non-vegetated wetland when technically it is, even if it is just riprap. So there is some confusion over the actual square footage of impact to wetlands that the board approved. The board did open up the floor following Mr. Brown's presentation to the public, and they did take testimony from five members. I believe the majority, if not all of them, are here today and will plan to speak to you, so I will not expand on their comments more than I had already briefly summarized earlier. The board also heard from Mr. Dom Baker, who had stated that he liked what he saw and was in favor of the proposed project. Following closure of the public comments, the board discussed the proposed project and posed questions to the applicant. The chairman began by stating that he had reviewed the applicant's preliminary water quality impact assessment, also known as a WQIA, and felt that more data was needed to support the preliminary findings. The applicant responded by stating that he believed that their preliminary WQIA met all current requirements and was sufficient for that period of the project. Further discussion by the board focused on the relocation of the boat ramp and the amount of available parking proposed for the ramp's new location, but was also continued to include water quality and impacts within the resource protection area, again, as I mentioned earlier, outside of the board's jurisdiction. The vice chairman expressed a concern that the board was spending too much time discussing water quality and other issues outside of the board's jurisdiction, and reminded the audience that the height of the bank would be determined by the city's Board of Zoning Appeals. The board continued to discuss the necessity for a final WQIA And although the public comment period had ended, Mr. Harold Levinson, one of the speakers who spoke against the project, had asked the board how they could approve a project if they did not know what they were approving. Following the discussion, a motion was made by board member Michael to approve the project. The motion was seconded and passed 5-2 with the chairman and vice chairman voting against the motion. There appears to be confusion, as I had mentioned earlier, however, over whether the motion included any conditions. City staff certified to the best of their ability in the draft minutes that the motion included a condition that the bulkhead be constructed to the height of the bank. The maker of the motion, however, Mr. Michael, has since submitted to the city staff a signed document dated October 11, 2007, stating that his motion was to approve the application as submitted to include on-site mitigation of the vegetated impacts at a 1-to-1 ratio and to mitigate the non-vegetated impacts by payment into the board's in-lieu fee fund based on a 1-to-1 ratio. Mr. Michael's affidavit is included in your record at item 7C, Roman numeral 1. Staff has also lately received a second affidavit from the member of the board who seconded the motion, which would fall just behind that one in your items if you'd like to look at those. By approving this motion, it appears the board accepted the applicant's wetland impact summary, including the previously mentioned 50% reduction, rather than waiting to obtain a scientific assessment by VIMS. Furthermore, the board strayed from its standard practice of requiring mitigation on a 2-to-1 basis for all wetland impacts. In the opinion of staff, the Coastal Wetland Board in this case failed to fulfill their responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance by authorizing the despoilation and destruction of tidal wetlands within their jurisdiction. The board failed to have any significant discussions regarding the necessity of the proposed wetland impacts and whether they could be minimized or avoided altogether. In staff's opinion, the impacts resulting from the proposed bulkhead and backfill could be significantly minimized or avoided by realigning the proposed bulkhead landward of the existing riprap revetment along the western portion of the property and by using a dredge slope that protects existing wetlands while incorporating a zonation mooring plan for the proposed marina. The board also chose to approve the project without the benefit of a sound scientific assessment by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. The board's decision to accept the proposed mitigation for wetland impacts at a 1-to-1 ratio appear to have been inconsistent when considering the board's history of requiring 2-to-1 ratio for such impacts. Furthermore, the board's acceptance of a 50% reduction to wetland impacts involving existing intertidal riprap appears to have no basis and unjustly relieves the applicant of the responsibility of mitigating the actual total wetland impacts as required by the Commission's wetland mitigation compensation policy. It is important to note that under the wetlands mitigation compensation policy, the wetland board is required to first determine the necessity of a project and then avoid and reduce all unnecessary impacts to tidal wetlands before considering any type of compensation or mitigation for the loss of tidal wetlands. It appears that the applicant used the proposed mitigation to at least partially justify the proposed impacts. This, combined with the board's failure to address the necessity of the impacts and discuss possible avoidance or minimization measures, appears to indicate that the board accepted the mitigation as justification for the applicant's stated wetland impacts. While staff is sympathetic to the remaining concerns of the freeholders, staff does not believe that those issues fall within the jurisdiction of the Wetland Board. In particular, the issues surrounding proposed fill outside of tidal wetlands within the resource protection area associated with the proposed bulkhead fall within the jurisdiction of the city's Board of Zoning Appeals through that body's local enforcement of the Chesapeake Bay Act. Furthermore, neither the Code of Virginia nor any commission regulation requires a water quality impact assessment for review by any wetland board. In light of the foregoing and in accordance with Section 28.2.13.13.1 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends that the commission remand this matter with direction to the Pocosin Wetland Board for rehearing finding that the board failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance. Specifically, staff recommends that the board be directed to not schedule an additional hearing on this matter until the application is considered complete and VIMS feels that it has adequate information to provide the board with an assessment of the proposed project and its resulting impacts. We also recommend that the board be directed to consider the necessity for the proposed filling and dredging of tidal wetlands, all avoidance and minimization options, and the commission's requirements under wetland mitigation compensation policy, along with the board's standard practice of requiring mitigation for all unavoidable impacts at a ratio of 2-1. Furthermore, while staff could agree to the application of a 50% reduction to the impact calculations for vegetated wetlands with a riprap matrix, when the balance is then reclassified as non-vegetated wetlands, we would not agree to the application for existing non-vegetated wetlands comprised of riprap. Staff would lastly recommend that the board be directed to consider the total impacts to tidal wetlands without agreeing to or granting a reduction to the actual wetland impact based upon the presence of existing riprap. And with that, I know that was quite long, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. McGinnis? Thank you, Ben.
As mentioned before, the freeholders are here as well as the city and the applicant.
Yeah. I think the appropriate direction to go now, Carl, is the freeholders, correct?
The appellants, yes.
Yep. Who would like to speak first on behalf of the freeholders? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
So help me God.
State your name, please, sir.
My name is Ed Matheson. I live in Pocosin.
Good to have you here, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
I represent, I'm a spokesperson for a group of citizens in Pocosin who, in a simplistic way, we are interested in trying to keep Pocosin's character the way it is. And this project, as we reviewed it, we've had some issues with the project. Now, in the case of the bulkhead, we were concerned about, first of all, the loss of two boat ramps and then the reconstruction of the third boat ramp, because the net result was that we would lose water access for our folks, for our people. And so our surveys of our citizens in Pocosin indicate that they're indicating to us and to our city council that they're interested in greater access, greater mariner capability in the town. And this project, unfortunately, goes in the other direction. It reduces marina services and reduces access to water. So from that point, we are opposed to the way the project has been proposed. The city letter, when we reviewed the city letter, recognized fairly quickly that they reflected in their letter some of the same issues that we had with the board decision. So rather than being redundant, when we made our appeal, we didn't repeat what the city had said, and we just merely endorsed what they said.
Right.
But we do agree with the points made in that city letter, although it has been pulled back for what reasons we're not sure. This is a very large, complex proposal for our city. The first, I believe, in its history of this size and magnitude. It's very complex and very large. And because of its complexity and its size, and it's put us, many of the citizens in Pocosin, through quite a learning process and through a lot of issues that we normally may not have gotten into. So it is complex. It involves, as spoken before, that all of the wetlands were planned to be removed, non-tidal land vegetated, and replacement with a bulkhead, a very significant bulkhead, very high, about 8.4 inches, and with fill in behind. And I know this commission isn't concerned about the fill as we are, but we believe that in approaching this, the wetlands board, with the height of the bulkhead, we believe it should have been caveated, their approval should have been caveated to the fact that the height of the bulkhead was contingent on some approval by the Board of Zoning Appeals or CBLAD or some other agency. So I believe the Wetlands Board should have caveated that part of their decision. We also agree that the VIMS report was important and should have been part of the assessment, as well as other technical data that helps the Wetlands Board make a good judgment. In the mitigation proposal, we also agree that that there should be some consistency in the board's handling of mitigation decisions on all applicants. So we think in this case, because the amount of wetlands that are being removed, the mitigation agreement, whatever that turns out to be, should be appropriate for the size of this project. We also agree that since this project also involves a city road and city property, city boat ramp, that this decision by the Wetlands Board should have been caveated that it did not take effect until after the transfer of the property. So that's in summation of some of our points. I won't go into the other issues that are not of your interest, so that we won't waste a lot of time. And
it's not that they're not of our interest, they're not of our legal.
Understand. Yeah, I know it's you might be interested in hearing about them, but if you're right. You're not going to make a legal judgment on right. those issues, it's maybe not worth discussing at this time. But I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Levine.
Let me see if any of the commission members have any questions of you, Mr. Matheson. Any questions? Mr. Fox.
You stated that there were currently three boat ramps and two will be removed and one will be relocated or something?
No, sir. The site had two boat ramps, one private, which everybody normally used and they paid to use, and then the public boat ramp, which was city-owned. So there were two existing boat ramps that the public used
right.
and had free access to. This project proposes to bulkhead and backfill both of those boat ramps and create a new boat ramp in a less ideal location, in our opinion. As we look at the new location for the boat ramp back in the man-made canal, we don't think that is as ideal as either the two original boat ramps. So we think, in summation, that this is a loss of access to water and it's less an ideal location. So that's one of the reasons that most of the citizens of Pocosin are concerned about this particular project is, and this place has been in operation since the 1800s. So this has been an ongoing, long historical site of use by people in Pocosin for access to the water. And this project, of course, is going to change that entire complexion. So that's one of the reasons we have opposition to some of the plans. And it's not that we're against the idea of upgrading the bulkhead, which we certainly agree that the disrepair of the bulkhead deserves some changes. We agree that the developer's plans to improve the site are worthwhile. What we are opposed to are some of the other factors that affect public access, and we're concerned about the fill of the RPA and the necessity for that, and the effects of the high bulkhead on possible adjacent landowners. So those are some of the things that we are concerned about. But there were two boat ramps to be backfilled and filled in, and then one to be built, a new one. That's the proposal.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Matheson.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. How many other are going to speak as freeholders? If you would stand for me, I think I'll save a little bit of time and swear everyone in at the same time. Sir? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you very much. Proceed, sir.
Mr. Bowman, my name is Harold Levinson.
Good to have you here, Mr. Levinson.
11 Evans Circle, Pocosin, Virginia. And I have prepared a much smaller folder for the things that I'm concerned about, and with your permission, I'd like to pass them out.
Is it already in the record? Are these contained therein?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see my letter that I wrote to you, Mr. Bowman. I didn't see that, if it's in there. But
I believe some of the information, I reviewed it earlier, some of the information is in the record. He does have some color copies. There is, however, a letter from October 9th that is after the board's decision, so it's not included in their record. So I told Mr. Levinson that you all, it may be information that he's already presented, but I told him he'd have to ask you whether or not you'd be willing to accept that.
It's a minute. Real fast. I'm going to talk to my lawyer.
No, you don't know what it's going to lead to, whatever else anybody else wants to say. You can open up the record and get the interest of justice. That's what you could edit it to specific item, justice.
Is there a motion to open up the record?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Tankard, seconded. I think in this situation, counsel has indicated that we can move to open the record in the interest of justice, but I can also limit what is introduced as far as, and as long as it's germane and not over the top, for lack of a better term. I get a second?
I'll go ahead and second.
Second by Mr. McCleskey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. Raise your hand, anyone who wants the record opened. Three. Motion fails, sir. I can't take you.
I want to thank Mr. McGinnis. I think he really covered everything I wanted to say. I don't want to rehash everything. I'm thankful I'm here. I'll be 82 June the 2nd, so I'm thankful I have my right mind to even talk to you. I would just like to point out a few items, and so we don't get into a rehashing thing. And the mitigation, I'm not familiar with mitigation, but I knew in the past it's been a two-to-one thing, and I think that the commission should consider to maintain it that, because the people who paid two-to-one, they should have been charged one-to-one. So that should be considered. The new and higher bulkheads, there was a petition submitted by the surrounding neighbors,
mm-hmm.
which is against that, and want to maintain the current 4 foot. Because, and I brought this up at the wetlands meeting, if you have an 8 foot bulkhead and the waves come in, they're going to bounce off to the low lying properties, cause flooding, cause a lot of damage. And while you're here, I'd like to show you where I live at, because it's right there. And where the, may I walk over
sure.
and show you?
This is my property here. Also, I have permitted pilings that go out to here. This is where the proposed boat ramp is, the new boat ramp is going to be. This is Mr. Bruley, this is Mr. Drillo, who has submitted a petition against it. And of course, these people are standing property owners. They have a right to live in their property.
Mr. Lamerson, now that you've shown us that, can you come back here? Because I don't want the same problem that we had at the other meeting on a full record. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Zarillo, myself, and Mr. Brew, we have a standing right that we shouldn't be penalized to accommodate the developer. And when I made that statement, if you'll see, the city is going to give him the rest of the road to build approximately $1.5 million units, which is basically enriching the developer, because we're being penalized so he can do that. And the next issue, I'm going to be briefing these because I've got a cold. Backfilling and dredging. I stated this to the Wetlands Board. Dredging in this area, the amount of dredging, could be a potential disaster for the local area. Mud, silt, all that will go right around the area, not to mention the Chesapeake Bay. The boat ramp has been discussed. The boat ramp is not in a approved location, because if you look at the pier out there, that's where the boat ramp is now. You can have tile piers along both sides of the existing pier. You see all the water where it says White House Cove? Well, you're going to have all that area instead of moving it all the way back down to the end. That's going to create a hazard. It's going to be a navigational hazard. And, you know, when a storm comes, everybody wants to get their boat out. And it's going to be a boat mob situation in that little cove. And I already mentioned that in reference to being the standing people should not be penalized, the neighbors, to accommodate the new boatman. And that's what it amounts to. Now, here's the good things that can happen. There's no need to the bulkhead the existing boat ramp, because you're going to backfill all that up there. You're going to take away the current wetlands up there. There's no need to do that. The existing wetlands, existing boat ramp, should not be destroyed. There's no need to backfill this area. There's no need to dredge this area. The location of the existing boat ramp is on a point. Look at all that open water. A pile of it. The following bad things would happen if the new boat ramp was located by the developer. Inbound boats will not be able to turn if the ramp is clear and used. Now, when the shed is gone, you're going to have 55, 60-foot boats. When somebody comes around the point, they cannot see. Well, a boat is coming in or coming out. So he comes on in, and you're going to have a boat mob situation in the corner if two or three comes in there. And then if you'll notice, the proposed access on the drawing that he submitted is a little small road. And that's going to create other problems that's not in your jurisdiction. I mean, y'all don't need to deal with that. So you will not have a clear view and lack of visibility from the canal entrance on boats coming in and also boats going out, and that's going to create a navigational hazard. I'm going to be honest with you. Mr. McGinnis covered a lot of issues, and there's no need of me covering, recovering those same issues and rehashing them. And of course, he brought out the things that were important. But the most important thing, Mr. Bowman, is not the developer. It's not me. It's the developer and everybody following the rules and regulations. If this man is going to be given, this developer is going to be given considerations and conveniences, this board will have to open the book to other developers who are going to look at the same thing. If you permit this and you know it's wrong, then other developers are going to have a court case going to say, well, if he can do it, why can't I do it? The old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yes, sir.
So, I'm not against what the developer wants to do. I want him to follow the rules and regulations like you and I and everybody else goes. If the speed limit is 55, it's 55. If you do 65 and you're caught, then you say, well, I was just following the rest of the traffic. The officer says, yes, sir, I understand that, but I caught you. You have a nice day.
Hope you feel better.
You're welcome.
Who's next?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
My name is Corey Gifford. I live in Pocosin. I spoke at the September 19th hearing, and I'll try to shorten down my comments again, as Mr. McGinnis has covered a lot of things. I just want to talk about the bulkhead height just for a second, a couple aspects of it. The existing bulkhead obviously provides a service, erosion control, stabilization, et cetera. But the idea of increasing the height of the existing bulkhead, it's not needed to control an existing shoreline erosion control problem or stabilize the existing boat. Existing bank. It's just too high. It's not needed to serve the function of the existing land that's there. I'm concerned that in voting for the approval of the higher bulkheads, basically the Wetlands Board, I believe they did not follow the best available technical advice. And they approved a permit that was inconsistent with the Chesapeake Bay regulations. And I realize there's a jurisdictional thing here. Because basically the higher bulkheads are proposed for the sole purpose, as far as I understand it, I've heard it since day one, they want to fill in the area. It just so happens, because of the Virginia Administrative Code, 9 VAC 10-2130, fill is not a by right activity in the RPA. So... I say they didn't follow the best technical advice. The city staff, in their letter, advised the Wetlands Board that the best technical available information is the bulkhead height should be the height of the existing bank. And that's based on a City of Pocosin Shoreline Erosion Control Guideline by DCR Seas, which is Shoreline Erosion Advisory Service, which basically said that fact. It should be no higher than the existing bulkhead. It was in the city report. They didn't quote DCR, but the fact it was presented to them. And it was basically, as far as I can see, disregarded. In that case, it's a technical advice situation. There is a drawing that's in your package and I'll just allude to it just for a second. It's on page 7G, little 3 IIIs B. And basically, it's the perimeter
around this area.
I was concerned that it hadn't been quantified how much higher the bulkheads would be. So I went out and did a little survey. I used to be a surveyor, naval officer for 22 years, and basically a position nuts and bolts type guy. So I did a Joe Friday on it, to the best of my ability, using the tide tables for the Pocosin River York Point, GPS, correcting information from mean low water to mean high water, took the measurements, and I displayed them to show what I believe are the differences between the height of the existing land, if you will, and bulkheads, riprap. And there's significant difference.
Quite quickly, if I can interrupt.
Sure.
The item number is 7G3I13.
13
looks like a B.
Excuse me.
Continue,
13.
Sir.
Anyways, that was something I presented to the Wetlands Board. And one of the reasons I did it, because the city staff had received some information from the developer's contractor that implied some averages increase, and I wasn't comfortable with those figures, so I went out and, if you will, I did it myself. So I just want to let you know what I see, and I think the best information that I could present to you is as far as what we're talking about, difference in the height of existing structure and shoreline and what is proposed. I think a lot of it's in the range of 3 to 4 feet higher. One thing that Mr. Levinson mentioned is on that little canal where there's about 16 homes. I hope you understand it's across from the boat shed. The bulkheads on those properties are nearly 3 feet lower than are being proposed. I came up with a 2.8-foot average. But anyways, I'm not a local homeowner over there, but I would be concerned if I lived over there. And I, to a certain extent, feel for their situation. I already mentioned it's not a by-right filling drill. Part of the problem, I think, and I understand the jurisdictional distinction, I believe, there's a process that's supposed to go through. The JPA form mentions the Chesapeake Bay Act requirements. Some determinations are supposed to be made by the local officials, I believe, to guide the Wetlands Board. Also, DCR has got a riparian buffer modification mitigation manual, and it has a flow chart of how the staff is supposed to interface with the Wetland Board, makes a decision, and provides some guidance whether a proposal is consistent or not consistent. And that should be taken on board by the Wetlands Board so that there is kind of a cross look between the two jurisdiction areas. It's not tunnel vision. I don't think that was satisfactorily done, personally. That's my personal opinion. I would have liked to have seen a more clear statement from the staff and guidance to the Wetland Board. What I think should be done, and I think Mr. McGinnis may have alluded to it, I'm not sure what he exactly said, is that if they're going to approve a permit with higher bulkheads, I think they should insert a caveat, which basically says that the higher bulkheads would only be approved or could be constructed if the Board of Zoning Appeals approved a Chesapeake Bay exception to add fill to the resource protection area. There's no reason of building higher bulkheads. It's like a dike if you're not going to put land up the top of it. And they have no authorization by right at this point in time until they get the Chesapeake Bay exception to add all that fill. And so I think it's a reasonable way for them to acknowledge someone else has got to make a ruling. And so, therefore, I'd hope a permit would include that. I guess my only other thing is the city letter. I was pleased to see it come out. I'm not going to get involved in what's happens in politics in Pocosin. The fact is, there was this need, a recommendation by the city staff, to caveat the permit to take care of the city property, the road, the boat ramp, et cetera. And obviously that was disregarded, by the Wetlands Board. I think the city manager is to be commended. I think our environmental compliance officer is to be commended for what they did and the stand they took. Obviously, they took some flack, but they did the right thing as far as I'm concerned. That concludes my remarks.
Good having you here, sir. Thank you. Who's next, please? Yes, sir. Come forward. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dennis Pierce. First, I'd like to appreciate y'all's time today being here. Our Wetlands Board has asked for another shot at this thing, and I'd certainly be in favor of that. Little legal question I'd like to know is this appeal action our last resort, or is it goes back to them, do we get another shot at that if things aren't?
We review all decisions of the Wetlands Board, so if it's remanded, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, but we would review the continuing decision, correct?
Yeah, you would review it as a commissioner and staff, and there would also be the right to appeal a subsequent decision by the Wetlands Board.
Thank you.
By code, I review every one of them. Staff does it pretty much for me, but every decision of every Wetlands Board, I get to take a look at.
All right, I understand. That's what I wanted to make sure of that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm feeling it's going to head back the way it was recommended by your staff, and I agree with that also.
Okay.
I'll do one brief thing. Page 7B4, just to get a gist of how this thing has gone on, every time they give a report by their agent, you look at the vastness of this 14-acre project, thousands of foot of shoreline, they come up with 272 square feet of vegetated wetlands. Grossly misunderstated. What I'm hearing now, though, is VIMS probably is going to get involved and oversee this, and there's going to be a better recommendation. So I'm very thankful to be here today and for y'all to see this. Thank you very much.
Good to have you here, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Sir, were you sworn?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll tell the truth. My name is Julian Cox. I live at 166 Pasture Road in Pocosin on waterfront properties located at the mouth.
That's the light.
Of Bennett Creek.
Sir, that's the light. That's the mic.
Oh, the mic. Hey, oh,
yes, sir.
Okay.
They look alike. And you're not the first one, believe me.
I couldn't see it. It was pointing down. Julian Gooseneck. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I want to recount my comments to the Wetland Board on September the 19th. And I delivered my letter, which is a part of your package, is 7G-III-6. And I'm going to focus my comments today on what I said to them in my letter, because I feel like the city basically didn't get the full fervor of my contribution to the Wetlands Board. And I'm going to focus today on one thing. I want to be sure this project is done right. And that's what I'm primarily interested in. And to do it right, the city and state need to work together to get the best available technical advice to be sure this project is done right to protect the water quality in White House Cove. And the reason I spend a little time, I know it's not your jurisdiction, talking about the bacteria pollution in White House Cove is because it's real. And because I live downstream from it, and my point is this, is that we don't need to do anything in terms of the project that would essentially create more pollution. And so that was the reason I put it in there, just to create a sensitivity and background for the condition of that waterway, which is one of the worst in Pocosin. Okay, also, I wanted to make this point, which I don't think has really been brought out importantly enough, and that's, two, is according to the 1972 Wetlands Act mandate, shoreline structures are only justified to address active detrimental erosion. And replacing the 1,000 feet of existing slope riprap seawall and vegetated wetlands with vertical bulkhead aligned seaward that is 8.4 feet high and approximately 2 to 4 feet above the existing bank without the best available technical advice. And that's my primary point. Since the developer's intention is to set the stage for massive filling the entire 14-acre site to build high-density condo units combined with substantial dredging of non-vegetated wetlands solely for the purpose of adding some more boat slips. And I don't believe that's compliant with the criteria and intent of the Wetlands Act. And I feel like that really needs to be looked at real hard. My third point was the Army Corps of Engineers has asked key questions of the developer, and these answers, when available, need to be thoroughly evaluated by experts and their best available technical advice provided to the Wetlands Board for during their evaluation process so an informed decision to issue a permit can be made. I feel like that's very important, and this wasn't done. Pollution of White House Cove by sediments and stormwater runoff during construction and filling with imported denuded earth that may contain toxins is a major risk since this site is located deep in the floodplain and vulnerable to tropical and coastal storms. This pollution threat to wetlands and marine life is not addressed in the preliminary water quality assessment prepared by the developer. My point here is this is can have not only wetlands impacts on what's been talked about for the site, but there's lots of other wetlands in White House Cove, and that needs to be considered. And I think it should be considered by the Wetlands Board. Also, it's been mentioned the Board of Zoning Appeals that governs environmental variances from the 100-foot buffer. And this, the uniqueness of this 100-foot buffer is it covers two different zoning districts, one business for the commercial, the other part of the 100-foot buffer is in the residential property, which is a split line when they get to it. And I feel like the evaluation of the Board of Zoning Appeals is very important first, because whatever their decision is going to, since the pollution from storm, non-point source pollution is going to be from the upland activity to the water through the wetlands. So I feel like it's very important to have that done. And best I could understand at the meeting, at the hearing, the city staff provided the Wetlands Board the opportunity to add this language to the permit bulkhead height, as been stated earlier, and essentially this advice was not heeded. Again, here's a smart way to try and address the fact that the BZA wants to see a site plan before they make their decision. Also, we also know that CBLAT has sent emails to the city expressing their concerns about the filling in the RPA, so we know that. So this is enough, I think, to raise the flag that the Wetlands Board should get the best available technical advice from the state. You got some wonderful experts at VIMS.
I concur.
And we've not done it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Matters before the commission for discussion.
Applicant.
I'm sorry, applicant. I've got the letter from the applicant, Mr. Croshaw. I'm sorry, certainly didn't mean to overlook you, sir.
Glenn Croshaw, attorney with Wilcox and Savage from Norfolk and Virginia Beach. Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission, let me be very brief. I don't object to the remand, as I indicated in my letter yesterday. What I do object to, though, is it being remanded with conditions, because without the full record, I think the commission is putting its position in peril. I would like the commission to remand this for a full hearing so that everyone, the applicant, the freeholders, the Wetlands Board, has their say and a complete record is given to you so that if you have to, you can act appropriately. So I'll go ahead and answer
any questions of Mr. Croshaw. Mr. Tanker.
Any conditions in particular that you find
well, I think
you have difficulty with?
Yeah, the first finding is that the board abdicated its responsibility under the Act. And I think that's a tough finding to make of a local board when you don't have the whole record. We certainly seek to comply with every state, local regulation pertaining to wetlands jurisdiction and have never sought any special privilege. So we don't have any problem with the issues concerning that. We've had a conversation with VIMS this morning, my client, and I believe that they're in progress of making the report. That really got into a timing situation as much as anything. We think VIMS is a fine agency, and that certainly ought to be considered.
Any further questions? Mr. Fox.
You say we have an incomplete record?
Yes, sir.
It looks like to me we've got a whole lot of paper here.
what you don't have, Mr. Fox, if I might, Mr. Fox, I'm sorry. What you don't have is about an hour and 45 minutes, it looks like, of discussion. You had the applicant's presentation. I think one of the freeholders in opposition spoke. And then after that, I'm told, I wasn't there, by the way, there were a series of questions from board members, concerns. I think some of the criteria were discussed. They were back and forth. That's the part that the commission doesn't have before it. That's why I say that. Also, I'll point out that there's some confusion over what the motion was and their competing affidavits. And in 31 years, I don't believe I've ever seen that either. So that's the other part of the record that's not clear.
Further questions?
Thank you,
Mr. Croshaw. Now, the matter is before the commission for discussion. Mr. Tankard.
I believe this. I'd say Ben, he gets the award for the most paperwork for the year this year. It's just a big...
No, I got a hernia picking it up.
I understand Mr. Croshaw's concerns about conditions, but at the same time, I think there should be some conditions, and I'd like to make a motion that this be remanded back to the Wetlands Board with conditions. And I can do that at this time if you would like, sir.
Go ahead.
I would like to move this to remand this matter back to the Pocosin Wetlands Board with the following conditions. That the application is, one, complete. That VIMS has enough information to assess the impacts for the Pocosin Wetlands Board. Number three, the board would be also directed to consider the necessity for the proposed filling and dredging of tidal wetlands, all avoidance and minimization options, and the commission's requirements under the wetlands mitigation compensation policy, along with the board's standard practice of requiring mitigation for all unavoidable impacts at a ratio of 2-1.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion? Mr. Fox?
I'm wondering if we can modify the motion to add a requirement that the Wetlands Board have a consideration of the access. We're taking two boat ramps down to one. It seems to me that that's reducing the public access to the water. How would we do that?
I'll ask my lawyer, but I think that to ask them to do that is out of our...
Taking into consideration the factors that a wetlands board needs to consider in determining whether a permit is granted or denied as specified in the code, I don't think that that is one of those things that is specifically listed.
Okay. But I think we've heard it enough that the concern is out there, and they would be prudent to take it under advisement, for lack of a better.
All right, fine.
Further discussion?
I have a question.
Mr. McCluskey has a question. Mr. Croshaw, Associate Member McCluskey has a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Would you state again what your request is of
this
commission?
Frankly, I'm not opposed to Mr. Tankard's motion. I think it encompassed the things that we thought we were subject to, and it took out any sort of conclusory findings that were broader than we thought to. So I favor Mr. Tankard's, my client favors Mr. Tankard's motion. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Croshaw. Yeah, let me just state, and I've done it before, when we have these reviews of wetlands boards do a great job. If you look at the number of cases that we have that come back for review, I mean, when you're considering volumes such as this, I mean, really, if you think about it, and if we had to sit through and evaluate every wetlands board case, we would be meeting 3 and 4 days, 5 days a week probably. So my hat's off to the local wetlands board. Sometimes things occur that are not intentional errors. But what we're confronted with is the Marine Resources Commission, is the Code of Virginia, and our requirements set there under for review. So I just want to make sure that there's a lot of strong language that comes out sometimes that, oh, they failed to do this or failed to do that. Well, that's legal jargon for what's in the code. Without getting in too much to it, I really compliment the wetlands boards and the jobs that they do. So the matter is before the commission for vote. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much for a fine presentation. Next item on the agenda is Demeter J. Georgiadis. I hope I didn't butcher that too badly. Docket number 071432.
Good job, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.